Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
In this week's podcast, Ollie is sharing lots of Aussie slang words and phrases with us. He puts mine and Ethan's knowledge to the test in this fun podcast lesson. You'll also learn the American and British alternatives to these words. And as always, if you head on over to our Instagram at reallife.english, you'll get a bonus lesson there. So make sure you check that out as soon as you finish listening to this podcast.
Aw yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and...
quirky
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, riding your bike, or even...
washing your wallaby.
Yeah, I'm joined here in the global studio, as always, first of all, by the lovely Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
I'm great, thank you. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. And by the Thunder Down Under, our very own Aussie in the studio, Ollie.
Oh yeah, what's up, boys and girls, global citizens? Hello, Ethan and Andrea.
So we have some things, I think, to explain right off the bat, right? So you said washing your wallaby. What's a wallaby?
Well, so in case you don't know, some people in Australia actually have kangaroos and wallabies for pets.
Do they?
No, I'm just joking. but a wallaby, if you don't know, is kind of like, it comes from the same family as the kangaroo, but it's just like a smaller version. Like it's a marsupial, mm-hmm. A small kangaroo. A pocket-sized kangaroo, exactly right.
Portable, mm-hmm. For your convenience. And what does quirky mean, Andrea?
So it basically means something that's eccentric or a little bit unconventional, maybe.
So maybe you, listener, I'm sure you know someone who's a bit quirky.
I was going to say, do you guys think you are quirky people?
I don't think I am, no.
No, I don't think I'm particularly quirky, but maybe sometimes my actions can be, maybe in a given moment.
When you haven't had enough sleep, you might be, or enough caffeine, maybe you can be a bit quirky. All right, so... these are all really great topics to talk about because today we're going to play a game here on the podcast where you will learn Australian and American and British slang. So Ollie is going to test us on some Aussie slang that Andrea and I probably don't know, and we will share the versions from our own country. So no matter what version of English you are learning, this will be really useful for you, and it should be fun playing along with us, I hope. And do you guys want to share why is slang so important to be aware of?
Yeah, so there's no doubt that learning slang and different English expressions is going to take your English to like the next level, because slang is what natives use in everyday conversations. And if you're listening, you probably have the same types of ways of expressing yourself in your own language. I know that, you know, Andrea and Ethan, you probably know that the people in Spain use lots of expressions that aren't taught in the classroom. So if you learn slang, you're going to be able to communicate easily and more freely with not only natives, but also other learners as well.
Mm-hmm. As well as being, it's really important to be able to understand like songs, to be able to understand TV series, movies, because we use them all the time. And like sometimes people think it's really informal and slang can be informal, but there are also like examples in formal situations where people even use slang. So it can be good to pay attention to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll see in like the examples that I'm going to use today that like these words are, they might seem strange to like you two and to the listeners out there, but we actually use them in everyday conversations.
So before we get into any of this fun and quirky action, we're going to give a shout out to a very special listener out there.
So today's shout out comes from Russia. And it's a 5-star review titled, I want to thank you guys. I began my way watching your YouTube channel. For me, it was an eye-opener. I'm used to watching at least 2 episodes every week. I write all new phrases and words down and learn them, trying to use them in conversation in my head. It really helps. Now I listen to your podcasts every time I'm wandering in the city, cleaning my apartment up and whatnot. I've improved my English level from intermediate to upper intermediate because of you guys. Now I'm on my way to the advanced level. I'm not going to quit. Only keep up with the good work and use these useful sources you provide. Thank you a lot. You're the best. Sincerely, Kostya.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thanks so much, Kostya. I also really enjoyed the use of emoji in this. Like, there's like a little flame at the end, a little fire.
And a little love heart.
Some little love hearts, yeah. She or he said, because I'm not, sorry, I don't speak Russian. I don't know that name. But they said that our YouTube channel was an eye-opener. What does that mean, if something is an eye-opener?
If something is an eye-opener, it makes you realize that you were doing something wrong, maybe, and that you need to, like, change your behavior and change your ways of doing things.
Yeah, it opens your eyes to something new, maybe a new way of thinking, a new discovery.
Totally. So if you want us to shout you out, then you can head over to Apple Podcasts, just like Kostya did, and leave us a 5-star review. And this helps other learners from around the world to have a lot of fun learning with us. And if you don't use Apple Podcasts, that's okay. Then you can head over to the show notes of this podcast, which you can find over on reallifeglobal.com, and also linked in the description of this episode. And you can leave us a comment there, and we might also shout you out. So that said, we have a kick-ass quote to share with y'all.
So we actually used this quote once before when we played Stump the Chump a long time ago with Ethan and I, but it's so relevant to this podcast lesson that we're going to share it again.
Yeah, and the quote comes from a British linguist called David Crystal, and he says that there's an old little jingle. The chief use of slang is to show that you're one of the gang. And what that means is that every social group has its own linguistic bonding mechanism. If there's a group of lawyers, they have their own slang. If there's a group of doctors, they have their own slang, and so on. And, you know, English speakers from different countries also have their own slang. That was my quote. I'm not quoting David Crystal there. Sorry, I should have clarified that.
So what does that mean that there's an old little jingle? What's a jingle?
An old little jingle means there's an like a saying, an expression that people say, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always think of like there's... like jingles for like ads, because a jingle can kind of be like a song or something, right?
Like jingle bells.
It's not so common anymore, but it used to be that like different companies, they'd have their own jingle in their commercials that you'd hear that and you'd like would automatically think of that brand. But this is a really great quote for today's podcast because it's totally just shows how slang can like really make you feel like you're part of something. And it's almost like that inside language, the inside joke that you might have with your friends or something. So I think for a lot of you that are listening, you might someday want to like go to the United States or the UK or Australia, and knowing that slang and stuff, it definitely can make you feel a little bit more like a part of that culture a lot faster when you're speaking the language with locals.
Another thing that's really interesting is that, like, for me growing up in London, depending where you grew up and where people were from, like their ethnic backgrounds, the slang was different. So I grew up in a different part of London to my husband, for example. So even some of his slang, like, I didn't know, because maybe the influence was more from Caribbean and African places as well. So it is English slang, but it's based on the demographics of where you live as well. So that's a really interesting part of kind of thinking of this gang as well, and like the group surrounding you and how you converse and communicate with each other.
That's a really good point.
Andrea, would you also say that it's generational as well? Like, would you have some things that your parents would say that probably you wouldn't say, or like when you were teaching in the school, would they say things like the younger generation that you wouldn't say?
Definitely. That's something like now sometimes I'm like, oh, wow, I'm of a different generation, because with some of the new apps and like TikTok and all these kinds of things, I hear different things. And yeah, working in a school here as well and in London, some of the words the kids used to come up with and I'd be like, what are you talking about? And I didn't know. I wasn't part of their gang, so I didn't know their slang. And then they teach it to me. It's very different. Yeah.
We should probably point out that like gang is just a group of people. Like, you might hear gang to refer to like, you know, illegal organizations, but it can also mean a group of friends as well.
Yeah. That's a good point. It's even like a slang kind of for talking about your group of friends, like the gang. Yeah, Global Citizen. Would you like transcripts for these episodes of the podcast so that you can understand everything? And how would you like to practice what you learn here by speaking with other listeners? It sounds like a dream, right? Well, now it is a reality. We're super excited to announce that we have started testing and are getting ready to release the much anticipated Real Life English podcast and speaking app, where you will be able to do all of this at the touch of a button for free. But before we launch our app to thousands and eventually millions of learners from around the world, we're inviting a small group of our friends and special fans to get a unique first look. I want to invite you to join us for private beta testing. You will exclusively be allowed to download and test the app and participate in scheduled speaking events. Most importantly, we'll use your feedback to guide us in building a world-class real-life English listening and speaking experience. To apply for our private beta testing program, go to reallifeglobal.com/reallifeapp or click the link in the description of this podcast. So that said, let's jump into today's fun game where Ollie is going to stump the chumps, I suppose. Andrew and I are the chumps today, so let's roll into it. So some of you maybe have been listening to the podcast for a while and you heard the episode where Andrea and I already did this. She stumped me on some different British slang, which was a lot of fun. So today, Ollie is going to do the honors on testing us on some different Aussie slang. So we call this stump the chump because a chump is a person who maybe is a fool, is someone who gets tricked easily. And that's why we call it this game, is because you're trying to stump, which means you're trying to get the person to be without an answer, basically, to not be able to guess. And the chump, the fool. So that said, do you want to let it rip with the first one?
I'm going to let it rip. I just want to know, Ethan, Andrea, and everybody listening, are you ready to feel slightly more Australian in the next 20 or 25 minutes?
I'm ready. I'm excited.
Getting a craving for some Vegemite.
Vegemite. Oh, I love Vegemite. Do you know? Anyway, all right, let's continue. Get sidetracked there. Okay, the first one that I have for you is give us a squiz. Now, squiz is a bit of a weird word and it's spelt S-Q-U-I-Z. Give us a squiz.
Okay, because I thought you were saying like give us a squeeze, which we might say in the US to be like give me a hug. But give me a squiz? That sounds a bit odd. It sounds a bit quirky.
Yeah, definitely. I was thinking the same. Like to me, I was thinking of the word squeeze. But give us a squiz? I have no idea what it means.
So maybe you're sitting on the sofa or the couch with your friend and your friend says to you, oh my goodness, I can't believe what he or she just wrote to me. And then you want to take a look at your person's phone and you say to them, give us a squiz, which means, can I have a look?
Oh.
There's a couple of really interesting things here too, because you said like, not give me a squiz, you said give us a squiz, which in like different, I believe in different dialects of English, you'll use like us, which is like the plural to actually refer to the singular. So like we can say that in, some Americans might say that, I don't think I would very often, but like I said, you could say like, give us a hug. Would mean like, give me a hug. Not, you're not actually like referring to you and another person.
Yeah, it's really interesting because we saw a couple of weeks ago that we also use she'll be right, which means everything is going to be okay. But do you guys have like your equivalent of give us a squiz? Like, let me have a look.
Maybe something I believe it would be quite American might be like, can I take a gander at that? Would you guys say that?
I've heard that. Mm-hmm. I've heard that. I wouldn't use it.
See, it's so much harder to stump Aussies and Brits on American stuff than vice versa. But I think that's quite American, right?
Yeah, I can't really think of an equivalent. Maybe something like give us a nosy or something. You know, like you want to be nosy, you want to have a little look. I can't really think of one for this one.
All right, are you ready for the next one?
I am.
Mm-hmm. So this is a noun and it's called an esky.
Like an Eskimo.
Nope.
Okay, if it was an Eskimo, I'd think of like a Klondike bar, which I'm not sure if you guys have, but that's like an ice cream bar. But I'm guessing it's probably not that.
If I said to you, we're going to the park for a picnic, put the food in the basket and then put the drinks in the esky.
Oh, would it be a...
Oh, an icebox. Yeah.
What do you call that? A cooler. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, we all have different words.
Yeah.
So it does have to do with Eskimo, like cold something.
I guess so. But like, I don't know. I would never refer to it as a cooler. It's always been an esky growing up.
Mm-hmm. So we already kind of said, I guess, what we would say, like I'd say a cooler for that. And you said an icebox, Andrea?
Yeah, an icebox or a cool box, probably.
A cool box.
Huh. Yeah, cool box.
Let's go to the park and put it in the icebox. Sorry, that was terrible. Yeah. Well, you could.
It sounded like I was watching The Crown. I mean, you did a perfect impression.
Let's go to the park. Let's go to the park and put it in the cooler. I'm going to stop with
that
this.
That sounds like an American with a sinus infection.
goodness me. So the next one that I have for you is you might be in the bar or you might be in a restaurant and you might say to someone, it's my shout.
Oh, this one I know. We use this.
Oh, you know?
I think I do too.
Oh.
What do you think it is, Ethan?
I would say if you're in a bar and you say it's my shout, then it's like you're saying I'm going to pay for this round, right?
Yeah.
Or is that different?
No, that's exactly right. Okay. It's the same in the UK.
Yeah, we use that as well. Like if you go for a drink with someone or maybe lunch sometimes, then you want to get the bill, then you'd say, oh, it's my shout, like, you know, that you want to pay for it.
Yeah. I'm not actually sure if we use that in the US, but I definitely, maybe I just know that actually from like British friends or Australian friends or something like that. But I've definitely heard people use that before.
Another way that you could say it is, it's my round, right?
Mm-hmm. It's my round, yeah. Or I got this round. Or we might also say, this one's on me.
Yeah. So let's go on to the next one. And this is another noun, and it's a dag. You could say, oh, he's such a dag.
Oh.
To describe somebody.
Huh.
Initially, I was thinking of daggers because like we have an expression to give someone daggers, like if you're giving them a dirty look.
Hmm.
But no.
Not quite. No, not at all.
Is it a bit like a drag when someone's a drag that they would say in America?
No. So like a dag is kind of like someone who is quite unfashionable and kind of like a nerd. Like they wear really big pants, really old clothes. They don't really have a sense of fashion or like what's socially acceptable, but they're kind of like, they don't care about those types of things.
Mm. So I think a word that's really American, you guys probably know it, is like a dork.
Mm.
You're such a dork, or he's such a dork.
But could you use dork to explain like the clothes that they wear as well?
Dorky clothes, yeah. You could say that.
Yeah?
Yeah. This one's dressed really dorky. I mean, it's not necessarily just like fashion sense, but like that's the closest thing that I would think to like what you're saying is like, he's such a dork. Like if you saw someone dressed like that, and you'd automatically be like, yeah, that describes that person.
I'm not sure what we would use here. Maybe a dweeb? Don't know. Is that American?
A dweeb.
Dweeb.
Yeah, we would use that as well.
What is a dweeb? I mean, I guess it's a dag, right? Someone who's not very...
dweeb is someone, I think it's like the same as kind of like a nerd, a geek. So it's like someone who's like really into like books and like studying and science and stuff. Like someone who's not very cool, basically.
Oh, I was going to say science is cool, right?
It's a bit of a stereotype, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm thinking of like in high school, right? It's a stereotype.
It is a stereotype. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a stereotype. All right. Spit the dummy. I think you call dummy a different thing in the US, don't you? A pacifier.
Could also call it a passy or a...
What do you think if someone spits the dummy?
I think of this. Yeah, because a dummy... So it'd be like a baby like spitting out a dummy. Someone spits the dummy.
Does it mean when someone reacts to something in a really childish way?
Exactly right, yeah. Something doesn't go your way and you like react, as you said, in a childish way. You get really angry and upset. And for example, like when I was growing up, I have two brothers and a sister, and we used to play games in the backyard. And if somebody, if my brother lost, he would always spit the dummy and he wouldn't play anymore. He would go and sit in the corner and start, you know, being upset and crying. So he would spit the dummy.
I think our alternative here would be something like throwing your toys out of the pram. that's an expression that's used to mean this? Like, because you could say it to an adult, but then obviously they wouldn't, you know, be playing with toys in a pram or anything, but they're behaving in a childish way.
I'm trying to think what we say. I don't think we have anything quite as creative. I would say like maybe that someone's being a crybaby.
Mm-hmm.
Say like if someone acts like that, you'd be like, don't be a crybaby.
Yeah, exactly right. And we more refer to this. You can refer to it to kids and teens, but you can also, as Andrea said, refer to adults as spitting the dummy. Okay, this next one's a little bit confusing. Yeah, nah. Nah here means no, right?
Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean yes.
It's like, hey, Ethan, do you want to go to the beach? And you say, yeah, nah.
Okay, so it's no.
Yeah, it means no. You can also change it and say, nah, yeah. Andrea, do you want to go to the beach? Nah, yeah. It's a bit silly, actually.
Mm-hmm. I think you could do the same in the US, but we don't use so much. I don't think nah. We'd say like, yeah, no, or no, yeah.
See, I think we say it sometimes. Like, we'll say, yeah, no. Like, if someone's asking you a question and maybe you agree or you don't, like, we might be like, yeah, no, or no, yeah. And then it's like, well, for other people that don't understand the context or something, they'd be like, what is it, yes or no?
I feel like that might be the follow-up question quite often, right? But that's a good example, too, of like that. I think in colloquial speech, we almost never say a full yes. It's almost always yeah.
Mm.
And probably the same for no, right? Is that a lot of times you say nah instead of no.
Yeah, I remember, I just said yeah. I remember when I was, you know, growing up and we used to have interviews for like jobs that I would apply for. And my mum always used to say to me before I would get out the car, make sure you say yes and no. Don't say yeah and nah, like in a formal interview situation. Because as you said, it's so common for us to just say, right. Yeah, nah.
How did you just say car?
Car. Car.
You sound like a Boston, like someone from Boston. It's in the car.
Get out the car.
Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use real native English and make it a permanent part of your life in a way that is fun, natural, and convenient. The best part is you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. We will send it to your email. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod, that's P-O-D, to sign up. Now let's get back to today's podcast lesson.
All right, so let's move on to the next one. Dogged it, to dog it, or to dog something.
We say in English, in American English, like you dog you, like someone's a dog, like they're, what does that mean? That they're like a scoundrel, like a, I don't know, a person who does bad things, or maybe you might say it a lot about a guy too, who is quite a ladies man, but maybe doesn't like a womanizer, like doesn't maybe treat women with so much respect. You could call him a dog. Does it have anything to do with that?
No.
Can we have a little bit of context to try and guess?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm in a WhatsApp chat with all my friends and there's a new Disney movie out or something like that. And I message them on Thursday night and I say, hey, what's up, everybody? Do you want to go to the movies tomorrow? This new Disney movie is out. And everyone says yes. And then you turn up, you arrive at the cinema the next day, and everybody's there except this one person. And then you message them, him or her, and they reply saying, oh, nah, sorry, I couldn't make it. I'm hanging out with my boyfriend or girlfriend. And then you could say, ah, you dogged it.
So it's like when someone's flaky and they like just don't turn up or they don't even cancel.
We'd use that word a lot too, flaky.
Yeah, flaky.
Call someone a flake.
Yeah, I think flaky is probably more American, but maybe there's been some influence there, which is why that's the first one that came to my mind. We probably have an alternative, but flaky is the first thing that came to mind there.
Yeah. It's like canceling without telling people.
Would it be the same if you had like a blind date, say, or I guess it could be any date, and they just like don't show up to the date.
Well, isn't that ghosting though? He ghosted me. Because I think if you dog something, it's more like associated with your friendship group.
Okay. Because we'd say also like we have a phrasal verb. It's like you stand someone up or to be stood up. So you could say that with a friend that like, you know, you had plans and then he stood you up. But you could also, we'd say that a lot, you know, if you have a date with someone and you get to the restaurant and you're sitting there and it's like 50 minutes have passed and they don't show up and they stood you up.
We would use that for relationships for sure.
Okay. So you wouldn't say that your date dogged you or dogged it or...
No, because like dog is kind of... If you dog it, it's like the lads, the boys.
The lads.
The lads. It's like, he dogged it. All right. Ready for the next one? Mm-hmm. How do you think you're going? Are you...
Oh, we should have kept score, right? I think we've gotten like one, right? It's my shout. I think all the other ones we've...
Yeah.
And spit the dummy.
Oh yeah, you got that one, Andrew.
But you're definitely stumping us.
All right, let's go on to the next one. So this is the phrasal verb with a noun. So if I say put your cozies on or put your togs on.
I think I do know this one because I think I've heard that these two words before.
Me too.
So it's like if you're going to the beach, you would probably say that, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So
it's like your swimsuit. Or your bathing suit.
Sorry, swimsuit just sounds so ridiculous because if I hear suit, I think you're going to like, you're going to dinner with the queen or you're going to the president's speech. I need to stop doing that. Swimsuit.
You know, when I was younger though, people used to call it a swimming costume.
A swim costume.
Yeah, I think that's where cozzies come from, no? Like a costume, cozzy.
Maybe, yeah. You know.
And what about togs? Where does that come from?
Oh, I don't know.
Are togs a specific type of swimwear? Yeah, swimwear.
Would it be like a men's would be togs and cozzy would be a woman's?
I think it's like a one piece for a female.
Oh, so you wouldn't wear a tog?
Well, you never know.
But do you also call them bathers or something?
I wouldn't know.
We had a podcast a long time ago that was on Aussie slang, and I think one of the words was a budgie smuggler.
Yeah, there's actually a really popular brand called Budgie Smugglers, and everybody wears them. Everybody.
So those types of swimsuits are popular in Australia?
Yeah, super common. Yeah, super common. Most people wear budgie smugglers, those like really short, tight on your skin. It's all about the tan, right?
We call those a Speedo, or would be like the most common, but like the thing that the equivalent of a budgie smuggler would be like a banana hammock. But that's not, I mean, I guess that's not so bad, but I mean, it's also like not. What's the words in the UK? I think you haven't.
Yeah, so if it's a two-piece for a female, we say bikini. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It'd be the same in the US.
And yeah, you might say swimsuit as well. One piece.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what we would say for the guys. I think, yeah, we might say the brand. Obviously, Speedo is the brand, but maybe someone is wearing something that looks like that, but is not actually Speedos, but would just say it anyway.
Mm-hmm. So it'd be the same.
I think it's too cold to swim in the UK. That's,
that's right. Well, what about when they come down to Ibiza and
yeah,
all that?
Board shorts, right? Board shorts are like shorts that are made for swimming.
Yeah, we'd probably say swim shorts or something.
Swim shorts, yeah, we could say as well. Board shorts are like for surfing, right? They're like the really long ones that, well, I don't think actually like you surf in them because they don't give you so much flexibility, but that's probably where it comes from. But they go like below your knee, right?
The next one I have for you, actually, this has, when I was going through the words, I was like, oh, we actually saw this with the incredible idioms we saw, I think it was two or three weeks ago. And it's bludger. So you would describe someone as a bludger at work. And I think like, what do you think? It's a positive or negative adjective?
Oh, well, it sounds negative.
I've already forgotten what it means, but it's like we were talking about because like the same word for Harry Potter for one of those balls that like chases people and tries to knock them off their broomstick.
The idioms that we saw 2 weeks ago were pick up the slack and pull your weight. So if someone's being a bludger, they're not pulling their weight. So... I mean, I just gave you the answer.
Yeah, they're being lazy. Is it someone that's lazy at work or someone that skives off work? So they like, you know, have a sickie or take a sick day when they're not really sick.
They're lazy. They're totally lazy.
Those are really British words.
We often call, I don't know if this is another stereotype, but we call people who do roadworks bludgers, because like quite often you're driving on the road and you'll see like two people digging and then five people watching. So you could call them bludgers, lazy people.
Yeah, we might call them like a slacker,
because
we say like you're slacking off, like you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So you say it's like he or she is a slacker.
Yeah, I'm not sure what we would say. I can't think of one. I can't think of a slang word we would say for a lazy person. Sorry.
If you want to be even stronger in American English, you could call someone a lazy ass. I think that sounds quite American, right?
Yeah, that does actually. That sounds very American.
You lazy ass.
You made you sound more American than what you are.
Like the North, the Midwestern accent or something.
So the last one is a word that you're likely going to find in like the country with like, you know, my parents' generation, but it's still used out in the bush. And if I say to you, g'day, cobber, how you going, mate?
Is it a farmer?
Not quite.
It almost sounds like copper, right? Copper, which would be a policeman or woman.
Yeah, it does actually, but it's, again, it's not.
Or like a cobbler, someone who like cobbles shoes.
let me rephrase my statement. G'day, cobber, how you going?
So it'd just be like, mate?
Yeah, exactly right.
There we go.
Again, this is the word that we would, you know, use out in the bush. It's not that common, but if you do hear it and you're thinking, oh, what is going on? It just means friend or mate. It's like a more bogan way of saying mate.
I've learned a lot of Australian slang today. I'm going to try and impress my Australian friends.
I have too. Have to like study these so you can remember them, right? For the next time you're at Outback Steakhouse, if you're in the US and you want to try your Aussie. Do you know about that, Ollie?
No, because people like here in Brazil, people have, they have Outback as well.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And they're like, oh, it's Australian. And I'm like,
yeah.
Sorry, what? No, we don't.
Outchibaki.
Outchibaki, yeah.
We have them in the UK too.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know. What's the thing is like Australian, and it's probably beef from Brazil or beef from Argentina. It's probably not even Australian beef, which is.
No. I think it's just like it's themed. Like they have pictures of kangaroos and crocodiles. And there's like actually another word I saw that you had on this list that says Sheila. So like they're the. I know what that one is from Outback Steakhouse, that the women's restrooms say Sheila or Sheila's.
Yeah. So you could say, oh, she's a good Sheila. And that means she's a good lady, good person.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, my old student was called Shayla, and I was like, I had to be careful not to say Sheila instead of Shayla. So
if you want to get even more slang, you can head over to Instagram, because we're going to do more Stump the Chump, but now we're going to put Ollie in the hot seat to have to guess some British and maybe American slang. So that said, thanks so much for joining us here this week on the Real Life English Podcast, and we look forward to seeing you in the next episode. 1, 2, 3. Aww, yeah. Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning Series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.